categories. ومنهم مقتصد. ومنهم مقتصد. We understand اقتصاد is a very common term in the Arabic language. Now it means economy. It was used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was the best economist because he laid down a rule that could be applied on individuals and on entities such as states or corporations and companies. And if followed really, it would keep all individuals, all entities, corporations, states in balance. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, الاقتصاد في النفقة نصف المعيشة والتودد إلى الناس نصف العقل وحسن السؤال نصف العلم. الاقتصاد في النفقة here means taking the middle course, the middle way in expenditures. And this hadith is authenticated by Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi in his book Shu'ab Al-Iman. Taking the middle course between being stingy or extravagant. You take the middle way. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Iqtisad, taking the middle way, observing your expenditures without being stingy is actually half of business. If you put all business principles on one side, half of business principles on every level is just observing your expenditures. Then he says, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, وَالتَّوَدُّدُ إِلَى النَّاسِ نِصْفُ الْعَقْلِ. Befriending yourself to people is half of your intelligence. And asking good questions is half of knowledge. So this man, or this category, that is in the middle, taking the middle course, is not actually a category that do a lot of sins and then do a lot of good. No, we're not describing people who do some good and some bad and saying those are in the middle. No, actually those are in the middle of the two categories, the wrongdoers and the man of Allah, the one who outdid the rest in the third category. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran al-Karim, those are the people of taqwa. The people of taqwa, those are the ones who took the middle course. The people who are described as being abrar, righteous and God-fearing. Those are the ones who took the middle course. And it comes also in contrast with someone who is an extremist. Someone who is an extremist. Because also extremism in ibadah is not recommended. This is why the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, using the same term or the same root, qaf, sad, dal, عليكم هديا قاصدا فإنه من يشاد هذا الدين يغلبه. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates, take a middle way, take a middle course in your deen, in your practice. If you go against the deen, taking the very extreme, then the deen will defeat you, or the practice of the deen will defeat you. That is to say, take what you are able to maintain and do not go to the extremes. So we don't have fanaticism in the practice or extremism in the practice of Islam. And if we talk about extremism, as it is talked about in the West now, or fanaticism, we see that from the early years of the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, extremism, fanaticism, or as talked about radicalism or fundamentalism, actually was denied by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following His instructions is the middle way. Is the middle way and the middle course. This is why, according to Winston Churchill, he defined what is a fanatic. A fanatic is he who doesn't want to change his mind. And then he said, doesn't want to change the subject. This is a modern definition which I like in politics. Of fanaticism. That is to say, in terms of da'wah, our job is to convey da'wah to people. If they accept it, It's their fortune. If they don't accept it, we turn to continue our ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work on a different level, with a different group, in a different arena. We continue our work. If they accept it, our job is to convey it. Our job is not to force people into it. Our job is not to change people by force. Our job is to convey to them the message. However, there is no practice of Islam as presented 14 centuries ago by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that could be described in modern terms as being fanatic or extreme or radical or in any other way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it the middle way. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. Those who have taken the middle way are the righteous people. Those who embraced Islam with every little bit of it, without missing anything. Yet, they don't have to do a lot of extra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at one level or another doesn't want you to stand up the whole night praying for Him and fast all days and devote all your life to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to study, to pursue business. Allah wants you to go into real life, to help your community, to take all domains, all walks of life and proceed. Because as a society, you need all professions, you need all areas to be active, working and cooperating with each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that point, all He wanted from us is to avoid haram and do the obligations. This is why in several hadiths, we find that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, in one hadith agreed upon in the Sahihain, the Sahaba says that a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. قال جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أهل نجد ثائر الرأس نسمع دوي صوته ولا نفقه ما يقول حتى دنا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فإذا هو يسأل عن الإسلام فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خمس صلوات في اليوم والليلة قال هل علي غيرهن؟ قال لا إلا أن تطوع قال وصيام رمضان؟ قال هل علي غيره؟ قال لا إلا أن تطوع. So the hadith, a man, a Bedouin from Najd, came and rushing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, speaking loudly. His voice wasn't clear, but then it turned out he was asking about the obligations of the deen. What are the obligations of the deen? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told him to pray 5 times a day, then to fast the month of Ramadan, then to pay charity, and then to perform Hajj, as in some other narrations, in other than As-Sahihain. The man turned or said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقْ لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَى هَذَا وَلَا أَنْقُصْ. By the one who sent you with the truth, I'm not going to do anything extra, nor I'm not going to miss anything. So he made a promise not to miss anything and not to do anything extra, just the fard, the obligations. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, أَفْلَحَ الْأَعْرَابِيُّ إِنْ صَدَقْ. This Bedouin will have salvation, will be entitled for success on the day of judgment if he is true to his word. But this is in the desert of Arabia. For a Bedouin who didn't have TV, he didn't have internet, also he didn't go to shopping malls as you do in America here, he didn't have to socialize with people who commit lots of haram, he didn't have to expose himself to anything haram. He made a promise to abide by the obligations without committing anything haram. This should entitle us to Al-Jannah. If you do this, leave all haram and do all of the obligations, you should be entitled to Al-Jannah. In Sahih Muslim, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. قال أرأيت إن صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أدخل الجنة؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم. A man came. He said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you think? If I pray the 5 daily prayers, fast the month of Ramadan, and what is halal, I abide by it, and what is haram, I keep away from it, and I don't do anything extra, will I enter Al-Jannah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, yeah, indeed, you're going to enter al-Jannah. All it takes, just, it's very simple. It is very simple. There isn't much work. If you want to know, as I was saying the other day to the brothers, Islam is very easy. Al-halal ubayyin wal-haram ubayyin. Halal is clear and haram is clear. And the Sharia comes to tell you what is halal more than what is haram. Because the things that are forbidden are very few in comparison with the things that are halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nas kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. O mankind, eat of what is on the face of the earth made halal to you. All we need is just to abide by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said once, if you want to know how to get to Al-Jannah, it should be very easy, especially for people in America here. Because when you look for directions on the computer, where do you go? MapQuest.com? You go to MapQuest.com, you take directions to any address. And usually you get probably 9, 10, 15, take right, go left, and so on. Have you tried finding directions for paradise, Al-Jannah? Actually, it is the shortest way. The shortest way to Al-Jannah is turn right, go straight. But you won't find it on MapQuest. You'll only find it in the book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find it only in the following of the message of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. All you have to do is turn right, go straight, abide by the obligations and keep away from the haram. It's very simple. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. Taking the middle course. That is the middle way, the middle course. Of course, in the process of struggling, especially living here in the United States of America, or not even especially here, living in Cairo or Damascus or in any part of the world, we need to struggle. We might transgress unconsciously, indeliberately, because we don't expect a Muslim to deliberately transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or rebel against him, indeliberately, out of weakness sometimes, unconsciously, we might do something wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this category of people. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُوا الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Those who commit sins or wrong themselves, when they do such things, they immediately remember Allah. Then they ask for forgiveness. And who forgives other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects, of course, that we might do something wrong. But the problem is in maintaining the wrong for the rest of our lives. That is the major problem. Now, to do something wrong on one night and then remember that it was wrong and then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually very human. To err is human. So it's very human that we might commit errors because we're not infallible. It's only the prophets and the messenger of Allah, peace be upon them all, who are flawless and impeccable. There's no one else. But the problem is in maintaining the wrong, in proceeding in our life, all built on sins, on riba, on uncovering ourselves, on mixing men and women together, in eating haram food, in proceeding with backbiting, in proceeding with slandering each other as Muslims, and so on. And the worst problem is justifying our lifestyle. Justifying our lifestyle in order to continue, because we don't want to change. This is what we decided. And many of us also have booked their tickets to Al-Jannah with the same lifestyle. They think that they have made their plans, and their plans are very successful, and they are going to go to Al-Jannah. Those people are going to be shocked on the Day of Judgment when they are faced with the reality, not actually on the Day of Judgment, but at their deathbeds. They will be shocked, because to be entitled to Al-Jannah, you need to struggle. Although the way to Al-Jannah is very short and very clear, but yet it's a thorny one. It's paved by thorns, by challenges. These are the temptations, the desires of this life. because you want to have more wealth than anyone else. So it tempts, it's tempting. So you want to take it haram, halal, without any consideration. You want to live your life comfortably. So we struggle to get as much as possible, and we think that we're heading for Al-Jannah. Actually, these are obstacles that would prevent you from going to Al-Jannah. And on the Day of Judgment, many people will be shocked. Many of us will be shocked. You want to be entitled to Al-Jannah. It's very competitive. You have to show of yourself the best. You have to struggle a lot. In order for us to thrive on the Day of Judgment, we have to strive in this life. We have to struggle a lot. And this is what is needed for us, considering the third category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes. If you lived in the desert, I would say, do your obligations and don't do anything extra. But to live in a modern city, in the Islamic world nowadays, or anywhere in the West, with the claims that you have guaranteed your ticket to Al-Jannah, while your children are in public schools, and you're working in a mixed environment, men and women together, and you have a mortgage built on usury, and your girls, your daughters do not cover themselves, and you proceed in your life like non-Muslims almost, just coming on Fridays to attend Friday Jumu'ah, and many don't show up even on Fridays, then how come that we claim to Al-Jannah? How come that we might succeed in this struggle just by praying five times a day, and many of us do not pray even five times a day?